Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Let's catch up with Neil Atkinson from the Anfield Wrap. Hello, Neil.
Good morning, Steve.
Back page of the paper is Gerrard up for the cop. And they love the sensational headline, yep. Which they'd be just as happy to shoot him down, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
And this goes back to what we were saying about it's great having your podcasts and actually your fan base writers these days who portray it in a more sort of...
There's more shades of grey.
Yes.
In all of this sort of stuff, there's more shades of grey. So, you know, there's tons of reasons why Steven Gerrard might want to come back to Liverpool. Absolutely tons of reasons why he might want to come back to Liverpool. And not least, one of those could simply be that's where he's settled with his family. The idea that he's just had the nonsense at LA where he didn't realise entirely how much moving around there'd be. And they didn't entirely commit to coming over. And now it's what we up sticks and we all go to MK Dons. Well, firstly, they don't need to for lifestyle reasons. But secondly, there's the idea, well, this is where your friends and family are. So how can I be useful? It'll be what Gerrard's thinking, because he's 35, he's 36 years old, and he doesn't want to be sitting around the house from that. He could do, but the idea as a human that he spends the next 30 years, if you said to him, you know, this is the old lottery winner's conundrum, it'd be nice for a bit to win the lottery and do nothing and have a year off and all that sort of stuff. For all of us, we could all probably do with a year off. But then the idea of, well, then what you do for the next 30 years of your life, what, just basically sit in front of the telly, go travelling every now and again whenever you feel like, well, that's if you've got children as well, you've got to get those children educated. So you've got to literally do something to fill your days. And if you're Steven Gerrard, what could you do to fill your days? And one of those things is coach young footballers, explain to them what the expectations are at Liverpool Football Club, but also in general, what are the expectations in life? Be the person who's gone, listen, whatever it is you've gone through, you're going to go through. I've gone through it. Have me be your first phone call. It's going to be hard, this, in places, because it is hard to be a footballer. Lots of things that we get to take for granted as normal people, like, for instance, going out and maybe being a bit inappropriate, as we all have been at some point probably in the last 4 weeks, broadly speaking. If Wayne Rooney does it once, it ends up on the front pages of the papers. And so there's lots of aspects of being a footballer that, you know, obviously we'd all love loads of them. But there's tons and tons of downsides, tons and tons of downsides. So having someone who's lived through both the positives and the negatives, the downsides, and having that person at a football club, whoever it may be, can only be a good thing. And when that person simultaneously the nearest thing you're going to get to a living legend, well, then all the better. Because, you know, if you've got a 16-year-old lad in front of you and he's not listening to his coach, and then his coach is Steven Gerrard, then who is he going to listen to?
Have you been to Milton Keynes? You don't exactly go from LA to Milton Keynes. I don't think that is the sort of the living environment equivalent. Let's talk with Liverpool writer Chris Williams as well. Morning to you, Chris.
Morning, Steve. Good morning, Neil.
Morning, Chris.
So, Steven Gerrard, would you like to see him back at Anfield in some capacity, Chris?
I'd snap his hand off to get him into the academy. And you just said it, the experience he'll bring of one coming through that academy process. And Neil's quite rightly said, if you're 12, 13 or even 16 and you've got Steven Gerrard as your coach, I think you're going to raise your game time and time again. I think it can only be good to get somebody like that back in the club in the right capacity. I think it would be wrong to throw him into the inner circle, as you said. That's too much too soon. Let him build his way up the old boot room way. I think he's prime candidate for that. And yeah, I'd love to see him back in the club in some concept.
Well, what's his path, Neil? How does it work? It works different for different players. Paul Ince started at the very bottom, didn't he? Ryan Giggs was an assistant manager at Manchester United straight away.
The path thing's an interesting thing, because you're presuming that he wants the path to lead to being a manager.
I'm not presuming anything. He might not want that.
He might not want that. And someone said recently, you know, if he turns out to be Ruben Bennett or Tom Saunders, then that's not just fine, that's brilliant. You know, because a football club needs people like that as much as it needs a Bill Shankly and a Bob Paisley.
Okay, and, well, you've met him. I've met him. I know him as well. What do you gain from his personality that you
he's
think?
Very smart. Yeah. And that's always the
he's
thing
intelligent,
took,
isn't he?
He's a really
he's
smart
more
fella.
Intelligent than people think he is.
Much
as well.
Smarter than people think he is. Yeah, really, really smart fella. Quite, you know, he's clearly incisive in the way in which he goes about his business, because he's used to that sort of environment where, you know, if you can say it, and it's an important thing in coaching. I mean, it's one of the reasons why I'd probably be an awful coach, is that, you know, don't say it with 25 words if you can say it with five. And Steven Gerrard will say it with five. And no, I think he's smart. I think he's incisive. I think he's straightforward. I think he's honest. To be honest with you. And I think he backs his... I think maybe, if anything, you could end up saying, and one of the reasons why, for instance, I don't personally think his path ends with being a manager, if anything, you could almost say he's too honest, that he's too loyal. that I think that you've got to be to you know, there's lots and lots of tales of the moment where Shankly had to be ruthless and that he found it harder than, for instance, Bob Paisley did. But managers have to be ruthless. Jurgen Klopp has been ruthless and will remain ruthless. Whereas I think that I would wonder whether or not Steven, because of how honest and loyal he is, yeah, he'll cut you down and he'll be sharp, but I think he's probably very loyal to his friends and to his men, if you know what I mean.
Radio City Talk.
Match of my life.
It's a free kick to Everton, close to the left touchline as the Blues attack the Gladys Street in this second half. The wall is not back 10 yards yet. There are five Everton players making their way now into the penalty area for Arteta's delivery.
Yes!
Gelling! Listen to the noise! Everton 1, United 0. Big Duncan Ferguson. Oh my word, this could be a big, big 3 points from the big, big man for Everton.
You can hear it in Alan Owen's voice in the commentary, just how important the match was to the city, to the football club.
Yeah, it was. Big Al's just, he's a great commentator, isn't he, there? But I think that moment, his decibels just rose above it. I think just listening to that then, Steve, the hair just stands up on the back of your neck when you hear that Gladys Street then when that goal went in. It was monumental.
Alex Ferguson's side reduced to 10 men. So Neville kicking the ball at the spectator. Was it over in your head by that point?
No, it wasn't, Steve, because you're playing against Manchester United and they're just renowned for late goals, aren't they? And you're just thinking, please just hang in there. I think, was it David Weir and Alan Stubbs at the back, was it at the time? In the team, I think they were just throwing balls at us left, right, and centre, and you just hanging on. You're going, please. And Steve Watson was brilliant, and it was plays you just so didn't expect to do that throughout the season. It was incredible, but that performance, you're just hanging on in there. I remember Cristiano Ronaldo having 30-yard strikes at Nigel Martin, and he was just parrying him. You're going, please, referee, just blow that whistle. And I remember speaking to my friend who was a Liverpool fan at the time after the game, and he said then they'd finished that quarter because their game had kicked off 15 minutes before. They were obviously watching the Everton game, hoping that Man United could get an equaliser, and obviously it didn't occur. They had 15 minutes to endure watching Everton hang on, so it must have been as nervous for them as much as it was for Evertonians, so they could get that win.
Is that David Moyes' greatest achievement? Finishing fourth?
Yeah, it has to be, doesn't it? Has to be. He got to a final, didn't he, in 2009? It's a couple of semi-finals.
But given what he did with that squad over that period of time?
It was incredible. That team finished 6 points above the relegation zone the season before. Mm. He'd sold Wayne Rooney to Manchester United, Thomas Gravesen to Real Madrid, and yet that bunch of players achieved fourth spot. And you're looking at it now, you're thinking, how did that happen? You're looking at Manchester City and all the money that's involved in football now. Don't forget Chelsea were red hot. Then under Mourinho, they just literally romped the league that year, didn't they? But for Everton, with them bunch of players spending buttons, didn't even spend the Wayne Rooney money in the end, that just got swallowed up. But to go and find Nigel Martin, Tim Cahill, Mikel Arteta, them types of players, gold dust, and look what you sell them on for. It was just an incredible, incredible season. And that game alone just stood out for me as that. That's why I support Everton, because of the bonds that the fans and the players and the manager had together as one. You can achieve and you can beat the odds if you show the right character.
Steve Hoddersall's kickoff.
This is Radio City Talk.
Right, massive game taking place in the Vanarama National League tonight. Tranmere Rovers in action, and they are away at top of the table, Forest Green. Let's catch up with our Tranmere expert and fan as well, Paul Ritchie. Morning to you, Paul.
Good morning.
This one get you excited?
Certainly does. It's a big game. Certainly, the last time I spoke to you, we weren't in a great position, so it's all changed, and a really big game tonight. So, actually looking forward to it.
How things change in a short space of time. Has the manager done all that?
I think so. I think, you know, he's obviously a former player, so there's that connection there. But he's brought a buzz back, certainly. The atmosphere for the last home game, albeit being a local derby, was excellent.
One thing, obviously, that as well as the results I've noticed, the performances are very good. I mean, I've been to one away game, went to Solihull, and one thing I've noticed, he's trying to play football the right way. He's very much talking about keeping possession, shifting across the pitch, and the ball's on the floor now, and the more often than not, it's exciting. I mean, obviously I came away from the Chester game gutted that we conceded two goals late and obviously didn't get the 3 points, but it was a very entertaining end-to-end game. And all you can ask of the players is, you know, they go out there, give their all, and, you know, it was full value for money. It was a great game. Mm. And even though you leave feeling disappointed you haven't got the win, it created a buzz and an excitement, so you look forward to the next game, whereas maybe earlier in the season, certainly since we've come down to this level, that's not always been the case.
Now, the fixture machine hasn't been too kind in terms of number of miles to cover. So Forest Green tonight, Braintree away on Saturday, Gateshead on Tuesday. The bus driver's going to be shattered after this one.
Yeah, it's not ideal, is it? I mean, unfortunately, if tonight's game was on a Saturday, I certainly would have gone myself. So it's unfortunate it's a Tuesday. I mean, I presume if it was a Saturday, we would have taken a fair good old following as well. Mm. But I mean, you'd like to think, obviously, we're full time. I know Mickey Mellon himself won't use the travelling as an excuse. He said, you know, the players are prepared as best we can. And while it's not being ideal, you would hope that, you know, our conditioning and such like would prepare as well for these games in short succession. So, you know, it's a difficult little period for us. But if we can come out still unbeaten, I think, you know, I'd certainly take that. And then hopefully going over this Christmas period, then our biggest squad, now that we've got some reinforcements in, and injuries and suspensions start taking a toll on the part time sides, that might start showing.
So Paul, quickly, will they finish top of the league, second? What are you looking at the moment?
I said no reason at all with how things are at the moment why we can't win the league. I mean, you know, it's going to be a difficult game tonight. I watched a bit of their game on Saturday where they lost at home to Lincoln, two very good sides. But we've got quality in all areas of the pitch now. We've certainly got goals in us. So if we can come out over tonight unbeaten, a draw wouldn't be the worst result in the world, and carry on the good form at the moment. There's no reason at all why we can't win the league.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Let's focus in on Liverpool Football Club with former Red striker John Dernan. Morning, Derns. Right, let's focus on a couple of stories here. Steven Gerrard up for the COP is the back of the mirror this morning. Stevie I's coaching role with Reds. Now, we were all made aware that MK Dons had approached him about the possibility of being their next manager. It seems like he's backed away from that conversation. Rightly so or not, in your eyes, Derns?
I think the only off-putting thing, and this might sound crazy, location. I think he wanted to be home with his family. I think the fact that MK Dons is not the easiest place to get to, he would have to have moved down there, or certainly rented or stayed down there. And to travel back there and from the MK Dons is not the easiest place. Like I said, it takes 2.5 hours at least. So, but he's ambitious, and it would have been a great start for him, big club, I think, and you've seen the success managers have had who have been there, who started their career. So the fact that he turned it down, maybe that was one of the things. But, I mean, the fact that you don't know what's going on behind the scenes with Liverpool, maybe they might be enticing him. And if that's the case, I think he would jump at the chance.
Is he ready for it? Is he ready for a club even like MK Dons? I mean, clearly he's being linked with it because of his name. That's the thing, the club themselves. I know the MK Dons chairman, he's liked to get a few big-name role models in there, hasn't he? Pete Winkleman is the man who's the chairman of the MK Dons. Mm-hmm. In the past, he's brought the likes of Paul Ince there, hasn't he? And a few other names. Ian Wright's been involved. But is he really ready to manage a club?
Well, when's the right time to be ready to manage a club, Steve? I think everyone talks about experience. How do you get experience? You've got to get experience somewhere. What a fantastic and great player. It doesn't mean you're going to be a great manager. You know, that doesn't just come naturally. But if he was got ambitions to stay in the game, he's got to jump in the deep end, I think. And if an opportunity like that comes, because they don't come easily nowadays, the way managerial vacancies come. There's so many good managers out there who are out of work, who have had experience. But like I said, I have this gripe about people always not experienced. Well, it's like anything else. The only way you're going to experience is you go in, maybe at the deep end, and try it yourself.
Some people get that experience at the top end straight away, don't they? I know, for example, well, Ryan Giggs wasn't the number one, but Ryan Giggs went straight in as a number two. I just wonder what level it is that's right. And I mentioned Paul Ince. He started at the very bottom end of things, didn't he? Well, where is it right to begin your coaching career, or is there no obvious starting point?
Yeah, for me, I think you've got to coach first. I think to jump in straight into management, I think, I don't know. I think you've got to understand, the game away from being a player to obviously have an eyes on how you coach, how you train, how you're going to manage players. Because a manager is a manager. It's, I mean, the job title's there. You have to manage players, and every player is different. So that's why you've got to admire the likes of Ferguson, who had success so many years, over decades, to all these big-time players. Remember Alan Ball saying he couldn't get the best out of these players because they were multimillionaires, and some days he just didn't fancy it. So they just down-choose, basically, because they were millionaires and he had no motivation. So managers got to try, a good manager, try to motivate them players day in and day out, week in and week out, and get to get the best out of them. And for me, I think you've got to go behind the scenes, do a bit of coaching first, just to understand, to see how they train and how players tick.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.